Good morning. Welcome to worship this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. It is good for us to be together here to share in worship, to be formed in our faith, and to encourage and support one another. There are several announcements in your bulletin. At the back of the bulletin, you can turn your attention there as you have time. Also want to announce some exciting news. We have a seminary student assigned to our congregation for this coming academic year. His name is Aaron Spangler. He and his wife, Joanna, are joining us for worship today. We will begin working him into our worship service in the coming weeks. Pray for him and for me. This is a very different way to do seminary field work. I never had to stand on a tall platform for my time in seminary, so it'll be a learning adventure for all of us. Aaron and Joanna will join me at the exit on the way out today, so be sure to greet them warmly and let them know they are welcome here at Good Shepherd. This time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Genesis. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him. So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. When someone hurts us, it can be hard to forgive that person. When someone hurts us, it's easy to keep a list of all the things they've done wrong to us. We see in our first lesson today, in the story about Joseph and his brothers, a real clear version of this. Joseph's brothers had treated him horribly. They had left him for dead and sold him into slavery. And now that they are face to face with their brother again in our lesson today, they are afraid. Joseph's going to do to them what most of us would want to do to someone who harmed us in that way. They're afraid he's going to hold that sin against them, treat them as unmercifully as they treated him. And yet Joseph turned his attention not to what other humans had done to him or what he might do to them. Joseph turned his attention to God and to God's mercy. Notice he says, "You intended to do me harm. God intended this for good." As easy as it is to want to be angry with those who do wrong to us, the challenge for us in our faith, children of God, is to channel God's love and mercy, giving people not what they deserve, but mercy that they don't deserve and can't earn, just as God does for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, you give us mercy we do not deserve, that we cannot earn. We ask you to help us and guide us to share your mercy and love with all people, especially those who sin against us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can't be exactly sure where Peter's question comes from in today's gospel reading. What's Peter thinking here? Perhaps Peter had some insight about what Jesus mentioned in the previous passage, where Jesus was explaining to his disciples how they were to handle disputes in the church. Perhaps Peter was taking this teaching of Jesus to its logical conclusion. Yes, Lord, we hear you. We will follow your teachings about resolving disagreements in the church, but how many times must we do this? How often must we forgive someone with whom we have a conflict? 7 times? Or maybe Peter was being overly generous, for who among us truly gives someone 7 chances to sin against us? I think after 3 or 4 sins, most of us would probably call it quits. We can't say where Peter got his question from, but we do know at least one source Jesus used in his answer to Peter. We do know where this notion of 7 or 77 times comes from. It comes, believe it or not, from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, in fact. There in Genesis, shortly after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, they were cast out of the garden by God as a consequence for their disobedience. Then they had 2 sons, you may remember, Cain and Abel, and Cain became jealous of Abel and killed him. And though there were consequences to that action, God promised Cain protection, even though he was expelled from among his own people and held accountable for his brother's death. God said he would avenge 7-fold anyone who harmed Cain. Anyone who killed Cain would have 7 generations of descendants held accountable for the act of harming him. Well, apparently this story got passed down among Cain's descendants because a little later in Genesis chapter 4, a man named Lamech, a descendant of Cain, boasts because a young man caused him injury, and Lamech says he killed the man in return, saying, "If Cain was avenged 7-fold, then Lamech is truly avenged 77-fold. Lamech was taking this law of Cain to the nth degree. And here Jesus tells Peter, in the church, in the kingdom of heaven, that will no longer be the way of things. No longer will anyone be avenged 7-fold or 77-fold. Instead, the law of the kingdom of heaven requires that one forgive a sinner 7, even 77-fold. And to illustrate the extent of the abundant mercy required in this kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells this disturbing little parable. And in this parable, Jesus takes Peter's question about someone sinning against another and changes it from a very abstract question, we don't know really where Peter got it, into a very concrete example. this parable gets really real really fast. I think that tends to happen when money comes up. It's easy to look at the world in shades of gray when there's no concrete idea of sin in mind. It's just someone who did something to you. Perhaps we suppose Peter might be talking about someone gossiping against him or stealing a small item. But Jesus turns up the heat and jumps straight to forgiveness of monetary debt. In the same way, according to Matthew, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he taught them to pray in this way: forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not forgive us our trespasses, not even forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we ourselves forgive our debtors. That's harder to pray, isn't it? That could require some real action on our part in forgiving that might impact our own wallet, our own pocketbook, our own bottom line. We ask for God to forgive our many debts, anything that we owe. But in turn, we ask God also to help us and guide us to forgive those who owe us anything. How quick we tend to be to want to wipe our own slate clean when it comes to what we owe others. How slow we often are to want to wipe clean the slate of the one who owes us. But the mercy God has in mind for us is a two-way street. Indeed, forgiveness of this kind involves this sort of mutuality. The way forgiveness works, it's very difficult to extend forgiveness to another if you have not been on the receiving end of forgiveness yourself. If you've never been responsible for breaking relationship with someone else, if you've never known that aching feeling that comes with knowing you've done something wrong and need to be restored and reconciled, it's very hard to have empathy with someone who has wronged you. And for this reason, Jesus talks about forgiveness in terms of both giving and receiving. He very pointedly, in fact, says here that the Father in heaven will hand us over to harsh treatment if we do not forgive one another from our hearts. This is very difficult language about God. And as a Lutheran who believes there's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness, this statement rattles me to my core. Yet I think what Jesus is saying here is that God not only delights in giving us forgiveness when we don't deserve it, but God also desires us to show forgiveness to one another even when we don't deserve it. It's a give and a take. And if all we care about is taking God's forgiveness for our own offenses without spreading God's forgiveness onto others, pardoning their sins against us, we haven't yet truly come to understand or appreciate the gift of God's forgiveness in the first place. We have too narrow a view of what God has done for us in Christ if we cannot forgive others. If our desire is to selfishly hoard God's mercy while treating others ruthlessly, we have some soul searching to do. Perhaps we need a reminder of how wonderful it feels to be forgiven. Perhaps we need a refresher course, if you will, in giving and receiving forgiveness. Then maybe we will be willing to share the mercy God has freely bestowed on us. So what Jesus teaches his disciples here about 77-fold forgiveness is an extension, another version of what he taught them back in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer: forgive us our debts as we ourselves forgive our debtors. The implications for Peter here are that just as the king in the parable forgave the servant, God has forgiven Peter. And therefore, Peter is to show forgiveness to others in return, not seven, but 77 times if need be. And in so doing, Jesus and Peter and all those who follow Jesus are busily working to undo that way of Cain and Lamech we talked about earlier. You probably know people in your life and in our world who live by those ancient rules of retribution. The slightest insult, the mildest offense, the tiniest debt, and they demand vengeance 7 or 77 times over. Jesus says no more, not in this kingdom. The rule we live by as his people is the rule of the kingdom of heaven. No longer 77-fold retribution, but 77-fold reconciliation. No longer are we to reach out with a fist, but with an open hand. No longer grasping at each other's throats, but embracing one another in forgiveness. We are to live differently than those in the world who want to live like Cain and Lamech. And we are to show others a more excellent way to treat others. For those of us who live in this kingdom and live or try to live by these rules, we are tasked with the great joy and the great burden of forgiving radically, sacrificially, and selflessly, just as we ourselves have been forgiven in God's mercy. We will find it to be that God has placed no limits on forgiveness, and we are the ones who insist on these limits. When we feel that way, when we want to limit the extent of mercy, this parable is a harsh warning to us. It's a harsh warning to us when we begin to feel self-righteous, when we begin to feel we are owed something, when we begin to feel someone or something is unforgivable. It's in those times that these words of this king in this parable should echo in our ears. I forgave you all that debt. Should you not also have forgiven your fellow servant? When we insist on living like Cain or Lamech, avenging ourselves, we end up denying ourselves life in the kingdom of heaven. We live by human rules, not by God's rules. And when we do that, we not only hurt others by demanding vengeance on them, we hurt ourselves by rejecting part of the forgiveness and grace God has given to us. Indeed, God's forgiveness is not to be hoarded or ignored. We're not to throw God's forgiveness away when we're done using it to make ourselves feel better. Instead, we are to share it. We are to pass God's forgiveness on to those who, like us, don't deserve to have it. That's how God's mercy works. And as we do that, we spread God's kingdom far and wide. We show people what it is like to live by new rules, serving a different king. So let's find ways to heed those words of Jesus to Peter, not just 7 times this week, but 77 if necessary. Let's find ways to pass on the mercy we've received this week. I trust you will find ways to show others what life looks like, lived according to God's way, the law of mercy, the law of grace, the gift of forgiveness. Amen.
Yeah.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. You welcome us when we are weak in faith. Uphold your church throughout the world. Make it a place of welcome. Strengthen faith through Bible studies and Sunday schools, confirmation classes, and youth ministries. Nurture new ministries of education and growth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The heights of the heavens show us the vastness of your steadfast love. Have compassion on your creation. Where human selfishness has brought ruin and destruction, we look to you to heal, renew, and redeem your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make your ways known to the nations. Speak kindness to our bitter grudges. Settle our hearts when we want to settle accounts with violence. Bless our leaders with patience and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring healing and justice wherever harm is dealt. Provide vindication for all who are oppressed. Free victims of human trafficking and forced labor. Deliver all who are bound by debt. Feed all who hunger and guard refugees fleeing famine, poverty, and war. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Teach us to forgive. Remind us that you do not always accuse us. Still our tongues when we are tempted to pass judgment and argue over opinions. Make this congregation a community of mercy for one another and for all our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Whether we live or whether we die, we are yours. We thank you for those who have showed us faithfulness, for the knees that taught us how to bow to you, and the tongues that taught us to praise you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat, this is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is with you.